voice in the background.
Leading songs and singing away, so thank you for that.
You get all the oldies.
Yeah, sometimes those words come back, and sometimes it's, you know, you get two of them, and then the rest of them are gone, but...
All right.
Yeah. If you've been coming for the last couple of months, and you've hit every single week, you may hear today and go, you know, this sounds kind of familiar. But that's what a review is. Some familiarity there. I want to finish. I want to wrap up today the ideas that we started with back in November. In November, we started talking about how do we know we're hearing God's voice. And we did a couple of weeks of that, two or three weeks, and then we took a break for Advent. And then last week we started, and we're going to wrap it up this week. And we talked about how life is a journey. Instead of it being just a, you know, the checkoff sheet where you go in through the place and you get it stamped and whew, made it to there, that actually life is a journey. We're talking about how can we know that the choices that we're making are God-honoring choices. You can stand there and look at some options and wonder, which one really would God be pleased with? And so we started by saying, if we're going to know what God's will is for us, we stood on that oldie but goodie relationship. And I asked you to consider, although I beat this drum many times before, and maybe you're starting to feel like it's the dead horse that I'm beating, relationship. I believe it's primary, again, I said this last week, walking with God, getting to know him, times of open and ordinary conversation throughout the day, however that looks for you, talking about your feelings, your questions, your anger, your joy. These are the things that we do with one another that build relationships, are they not? And they're the same things that we need to do if we're going to build a relationship with God. Then we took some time, remember that, to learn about ourselves. And what might make us lean into relationship with Jesus? We filled in the blank with this statement. I feel really alive with God when I... What was it for you? It's something different for everybody. For some people, we said it is when I'm spending time with other people, with other Christians. That's me. For some people, it is when I'm out in nature. For some people, it is when I am quiet and sitting alone and I have space and time to think. For some people, it was when I'm digging in and studying and learning more. That's when I really feel connected. And for every single one of us, there's something that draws you in when I'm creating. When I'm creating something beautiful, I really feel God. What is it for you to find that and lean into it? Brian and I were watching a documentary of some kind. Anyway, and it was an artist. And they were creating this very beautiful pattern. It went on and on. And I was like, wow, that's really amazing. You know, they freehanded this big thing. Then they wanted to go back and color in every single tiny piece of that. And I can imagine a worse job than having to color in the tiny pieces of something you drew. You want to torture me? Make me sit down and do minute detail work and I will lose my mind. It's not how I'm wired. And when I try and do something again and again and again that I'm not wired to do, it's frustrating. It doesn't bring me joy. God didn't create me to work like that, and I'm delighted that he created people who do like to work like that because I can appreciate it. That work. If you left it up to me, this world would be very bland. And it's not, because God gifted every single one of us differently. And we talked about that. And then last week, we started using the analogy of a journey. Not a pass-fail, not I'm blessed if I've achieved this. Have you ever thought that? When I get to this level, then God will be really pleased with me. Once I can accomplish that, I'll know I'm blessed. And instead, what I'm going to see is my life is going to walk with God and take many turns, many ups and downs, and there is no pass-fail as we walk through life. It is a journey. And when I have that firmly in my mind, I can relax into his arms and just walk with him in spite of chaos, in spite of those times when it seems like the chaos isn't going to cease, ever. I can know that I'm in his arms, that I'm actually doing his will, even though it feels like progress is non-existent. You ever felt that way? There's no progress. We're not getting anywhere. I'm at the same place I was a year ago. And the good news is God's like, well, let's try again. Come on. We got this. And we do. We talked about how a journey involves a number of things, and I want to bring them back to the forefront of your mind. And I'd like you to take a moment, if you would, to think, if you could be in a drone, if you could have the bird's eye view of your life and where it's gone, and the paths that it's taken, the valleys, the mountain peaks, there's a lot. If you could close your eyes and if you could see all the twists and turns, how many of you would say your life has gone according to the big plan you made when you were 22? 32. The new plan you made at 42. How many of you might feel that you've been stuck in that muddy frustration for too long? Or can you look back and see times where you thought, man, I must be way off track. And then you realize that that time when you were off track was time when you got to learn something, engage with someone in a way that they needed. And it wasn't really off track. It was just different than what you'd originally thought before you moved back on to something else. Do you look back and think, wow, I should have appreciated that time more? You ever done that? You look back and you think, man, I should have enjoyed where I was on the journey right then. Or maybe you look at your path and you say, wow, look what I've made it through. And here I am, still standing, ready to tackle another day. Raise your hand if something has happened in your life that was serious enough that you might not, should not still be here. Times, but wherefore, what's that old saying? But there for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. If I had lived 100 years ago, I'd be dead already.
100 years ago, they didn't have electricity, which is good for me.
They didn't. You know, you think about that. We need to set aside the idea where we say, my Christian walk should look like so-and-so's. My Christian walk should be doing all the things that they're doing. You ever watch that? People who have some points, some tips for life. There's some life hacks, they call them now. If you do this, 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 it'll make your life so much easier. By the end of the day, if you've watched about 6 of those videos, you have 200 tips. So I want you to think, how many can you implement? How many can you keep track of? You are wired to be you and to do what God's created you to do. And it's you and God walking your journey, not you and God and everybody else giving you their input, their advice, their plan for your life. Neither does God have a set standard where it's like, well, nice try, boy. You know, I hope you get it together someday. Do you ever feel like that? That's not how he views you. Do you view your children that way? He's a perfect heavenly father. He does not look at you and expect things you can't do any more than I would expect Sawyer to be able to perfectly do something that Aiden can do. You can't because you're not there yet. And your heavenly father knows right where you are and how capable you are at the time. Psalms 103, verses 12 through 14 are words that I revel in, and they go like this. He has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear, and that word means revere or to stand in complete awe of him. And this is the part I like. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers that we are but dust. He remembers. He knows what I'm capable of. And he has reasonable expectations. He's the Father who not only guides our journey, but loves to hear all about it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Failures? What do you do as a parent? You lean down, pick them up. We do this on our knees, right? Come on. All right, let's try again. Oh, maybe we shouldn't try that anymore. Let's move over here. Do we do that with our children? The Lord does the same thing with us. We started with scriptures last week that said that God is both ahead and behind me, Psalm says. You go before me and you go behind me. He's got your front and he's got your back. We talked about anticipating our destination, heaven. We talked about no rear view mirror navigating. That if I want to go forward, I can't spend my life looking in the rear view mirror with all the if-onlys and all the regrets. We're going to do like Paul, forgetting the bad that's behind and looking straight ahead to the goal. I'm moving forward. We talked about time for needed fuel stops. Are you stopping and fueling up? And what kind of gas are you getting? What kind of fuel are you taking on? What do I fill up with in my life? Does what I fill up with draw me toward God, or does it leave space between me and God? I can be busy doing so many good things and miss out on the best. I need to be careful what I'm allowing into my life. We talked about how there are detours of my making. You ever really made a mess? And I was like, whoa, how did I end up here? Well, you know. I know just how I got here. And then we talked about the other times where detours happen because somebody else made a mess on your path. And if you're back in that drone again, we talked about how you could look down and see skid marks across to your path with debris all over it, and it isn't your skid marks and it's not your debris, but who has to do the cleanup? We do. That's part of the journey. And we talked about rough roads. Times that slow me down. Times that make me feel like everything is so bumpy I can't hang on very well. And we talked about how we're going to have grace for the people around us who might be on a rough road that they can't get off of yet. Because you can't always look at the front of somebody and know what kind of road they're traveling right now. Rough roads. Those are part of a journey. And then lastly, we talked about rest areas. Brian said to me last week, you know, I almost raised my hand and said, my version says he lets me lie down in green pastures. The term is he also makes me lie down in green pastures. We had times where God made you lie down. And the word is, the Hebrew word is, lie down. It is like flat on your back and rest. You ever had those times before you thought God had said, time out. Slow down. Rest areas. We need them. Psalms 23 talks about our relationship and our walk with God. And if I want to know, am I doing what God wants me to do? I just need to keep walking with him. I need to be in relationship with him. And then I'm going to hear that voice because he is walking with me all the time. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me, he makes me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. Am I doing God's will? Here's how I know. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Am I in touch with him? Am I trying to follow him? Then I'm probably doing what I can. I'm making good choices. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close to me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me, where? In the presence of my enemies. The term is my foes, the things that are against me. In the midst of that, you prepare a feast for me. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. Well, that doesn't mean much to us now, but it was a sign of honor and love back in David's day. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love, we used to say, will follow me all the days of my life, but the word is actually pursue me. Your goodness, your unfailing love will chase me down, is the term. It isn't just follow, you know, like at a distance. It will pursue me and chase me down. What am I being chased by? Goodness and unfailing love from my Father. All the days of my life, David says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Green meadows, dark valleys, peaceful streams, enemies and foes, they're all part of the journey we walk. The downs are to be expected and the ups are to be anticipated, aren't they? And it's important to remember that encountering, enduring, and struggling through hard times does not mean we are outside of God's will or plan for our lives. And it doesn't mean we're outside his hand of blessing. If the Apostle Paul decided every time things went off course, every time bad things happened, every time the road got rough, he wasn't doing God's will, you'd have a very flimsy New Testament today. But he didn't do that. He said, even though it's crazy around me, I am on the path God has me on. I will stay on that path. God's word tells us that in the midst of battles, he will do refreshing and amazing things for us. Prepare a feast in the presence of my enemies, of my foes, of those things that are bringing me down. In the midst of all of that, God will still be gracious and good to me. My faithfulness and my journey will cause, it says, even those around me to see God's hand on me. They can choose to acknowledge it or not, but there it is. So why am I reviewing all of this? Why are we saying all of this again? We're saying it again because we need to hear it, because I need to hear it, because you need to hear it. Our life is a walk, a daily up and down walk with Jesus. And when we start to think about the idea to know, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I following his will? I want you to ask some questions. The first question I want you to ask yourself when you start to wonder is, am I spending time in God's presence? Yeah. Parentheses. However that looks for you. Am I spending time in God's presence so I will hear and recognize his voice? I will know that's his nudging. How do I know it's that voice? Have you ever had someone call you that you haven't talked to in a while? And they know your name. And you've tried, maybe you've tried this. You just kind of keep them talking. Oh, how are you? Hoping that eventually you're going to recognize the voice. And sometimes you do, and sometimes you go, you know, I'm sorry, I don't recognize your voice. Will you? I was at a memorial service Friday. And two kids came up to me and they said, do you recognize us? I should. No. And it was really noisy in there, and he said the name once, and then he said the name twice, and it wasn't until the third time I caught it, and I said, no way. It was Callan and Mara Garner. Well, I haven't seen them in 5 years, and kids grow a lot in 5 years. And we had the most wonderful conversation, but I felt terrible. I didn't recognize them. Why? Because I'm not familiar with those voices. I'm not familiar with those faces. And if I want to know if I'm doing God's will, I have to be hanging out with him. That's how I know it's his voice. Or I know it's a voice that isn't his. The second question I want you to ask yourself is, does my choice contradict what God has already said in his word? If it contradicts what it already says, then no go. Something, somewhere the wires got crossed. You know, I'm married, but that person, I really love them. They really love me. God wants me to be happy. No! That's not what he says in there. Some wires got crossed. That's an extreme example. But do you have that? You know, if it says no, sometimes they're just yes and no things, aren't there? But a lot of life is in the gray areas. A lot of life, you get to decide. And so maybe make yourself a flowchart. Does it contradict God's word? If no, whew, you know, then you're off on this other stuff. If yes, you know, move over. Third question, has he wired me to enjoy, to learn, or to grow in this path? Am I honoring and thriving as he's created me to be, or am I trying to be someone else? Everybody has something that you go, man, I wish I could be more like that. But if you keep doing that, pretty soon you've got 15 more things you should be like, you think. And who you are starts to wither. I'm going to make this choice. Is this choice going to bring joy, help me learn, help me grow? Am I going to feel like I'm thriving on this one? Let's try it. Number four, will this choice provide opportunities for me to love well the people that God has placed around me? If I make this choice, am I going to be able to love well the people God's given me to love well? If the answer is no, then give it some rethink. I could take this great job. It's going to be a super job. I'm going to be gone 90 hours a week from my children, but it's a great job. Careful consideration is called for. Because if God's called us to do some things, to love well the people that are around us, and the choices that I'm making are going to interfere with my ability to do that, I need to slow down and think it through very carefully. God gave us those people for a reason. Sometimes he changes those people up, just so you know. Sometimes you will hear God saying, oh, time to, okay, Abraham, pack that tent, let's go. Sometimes that's what we're doing. I think often of Ron and Jill when I think about this. This last week, you've come to mind a lot, the two of you. I know both of your hearts are to go back to Haiti and help those people. And for some reason, God has that door closed right now. God's lit a fire in your lives to do something there. Now, if Jill said to me, Patty, do you want to come along? I'd be like, no, he hasn't placed that burden in my heart. He hasn't placed that joy, that longing in me. He places those there for a reason. What lights my fire? What really makes me dig in? Last question. Do I feel his presence giving me courage and hope to tackle what's ahead? Do I feel his presence? Am I gathering courage to do this? Or am I faced with only fear inside me? Not some fear, because every time we make a leap, there's a little bit of whew, right? Am I filled with his peace? Am I filled with his joy and courage? The tough answer to that question is, how do I know God's will for my life? Is simply this. There is no one way to know. There is no magic formula. How disappointing, I know. There's no one way of putting out that fleece and saying yes or no. Quite often, occasionally that might happen. Most often, it just requires time and prayer and talking with God. We step out in faith. We do the next right thing that we know to do. And we're going to trust that if it's not the right step, we're going to feel that nudge back to a different direction. Do the next right thing. Sometimes the new road that didn't work out teaches us more about ourselves than the easy road would have. You ever had your kids or someone you're working with at school or someone you're teaching how to ride a horse and they think they can do something and inside you go like, well, good luck. And you let them try and you let them fail. And why do we do that? Because sometimes when we try something that doesn't work out, we learn as much about ourselves as we do when we succeed. And God is the perfect father, and he lets us try those things. And sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't. But hopefully that's how we become a little older and a little wiser. I want to close with Psalms 25. Part of that chapter. Oh Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced, or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassionate, unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O Lord. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his commands. Lord, thank you that your word promises us, you promise us that you will lead us to where we need to go. Lord, it's a new year. New things are in front of us. And the choices that we make, we want them to be ones that honor you, that bring you joy, and bring us joy as well. Lord, will you give us courage in the hard times? Will you give us faithfulness for the rough road? And will you let us know that you are always right beside us? We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Would you be standing? I pray that this will be a week where as you consider new things, you will hear your Father's voice in your ear. Go in the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And don't forget potluck.